prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. And as always, I start off Wendy's broadcast with our guest, Wendy Wilson. And welcome to today's program. We've got a lot to cover. We're going to let Wendy share some information that I'm interested in hearing. We're going to learn about a sense of humor. And do you have a warp one, maybe? We're going to find out. Okay, I probably do. Before we do that, though, let's get into the metals, into the markets. I think it's interesting. I know it is. Gold took a little hit today, down $11 to $19.9503. Silver was up 0.12 to 25.32. Platinum was up 11 to 10.90. Palladium was down 8 to 15.41. So metals are mixed today, but we can expect that. I mean, we knew gold would drop down a little bit, and then when it goes up again, it'll probably break the record again. The Dow was down 117 to 33.838. NASDAQ was up 7.98 to 12.161. S&P was down 111 to 41.53. So not a lot of move in the markets. FTSE was the same way, down a little bit, 0.13% to 78.98. DAX was up 0.08%, 15.895. Hang Seng was down 1.37% to 23.67. Nikkei was down 18.18% to 28.606. So markets, yeah, pretty level all of the world day. USDX was up 0.23 to 108.98. 10-year yield was up 0.028 to 3.60. Oil was down 170 to 79.16, so kind of a mixed bag, I guess you could say, for everything, markets and metals. Metals are holding their own, I do believe, and I know that gold and the metals will drop a little bit. They always do, folks. That's the way metals work. Go back down maybe to even to below 19s even, maybe upper 18s, and go back up then to hit a record in the $2,000, $2,100 range. It's coming. And you just saw the growth in gold. It's coming, folks. It's coming. I'll just go to our guest. Wendy Wilson is one of my favorite guests in the world. I love listening to her talk and the news she shares. She is on top of things. Her attitude is always positive, and I like that. So let's go to talk to Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. Wendy, welcome.
Hey, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners. I thought we'd talk about the sense of humor indicators, because it's real important. Sometimes the sense of humor can tell us about a person's character. God can look into the hearts of men, but we can't. But this may give us a clue as to, you know, what a person may be thinking, really. Because most people really know someone that is socially maybe awkward. However, that description really isn't as accurate when it comes to a personality disorder that people can have. So you may know someone that doesn't get jokes or seems to laugh only because everybody else is laughing but lacks understanding the humor. Or maybe you know someone that converses offensively and then tries to convince you it was all just a joke. These are the people who really don't seem to have a healthy sense of humor, or the type of humor that they do have is demeaning and sadistic. So what does a sense of humor say about a person and their overall health? So we talk about that. Now, according to social psychology, they tell us there's several major types of humor. One is called affirmative humor, a person who amuses others in order to facilitate a relationship, tends to be a very positive type of humor. People tend to gravitate to those kind of folks. Then there's the self-enhancing humor, which is a person who finds amusing circumstances in life's hardships by staying positive. So those two first types are very positive and get the thumbs up. Then you have this self-defeating humor. This is a person who says funny things at his own expense. This is a negative form of humor, but the target is oneself. The comedian Rodney Dangerfield exhibited this type of humor. He would say, "I'm so ugly," and then fill in the blank. He would go on about how ugly he was. Now, the last one is the one that has a bit of a dark side. It's called aggressive humor. This is a person who uses humor to disparage another and to manipulate others. It often involves sarcastic comments, mocking a person, or giving someone a mean-spirited nickname. So the dark side of humor stems from this humor type. Now, I do want to touch on this study, though, Pastor Butch, that was August 2016. This is the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. Their study did get published, and the title of their study was "The Dark Side of Humor, Pathological Personality Traits and Humor Styles." And the study looked at humor styles and personality traits, and they were looking at college students, Pastor Butch. So here are some of the findings from their study. They say antagonism was positively associated with an aggressive humor type, but not a positive humor type. You know, if someone antagonizes you, you know, kind of, you know that saying, don't poke the bear? Huh?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
They also found that uninhibited or disinhibited types, this would be an inappropriate humor style where it's associated with aggressive humor style. This would be an example of someone with no filter, using socially inappropriate comments and actions. So they found that among college students. They also found disinhibited and psychotic humor were positively associated with this self-defeating humor style. Now, your positive humor traits, your affirmative and self-enhancing, these were associated with personality traits that were people that were more extroverted, open-minded, agreeable personalities, people tend to like those folks. Your self-defeating humor trait was associated with those who are self-conscientious. They have a high risk of depression, emotional instability, anxiety, and they're prone to anger. Now, the darker humor traits of aggressive and self-defeating styles of humor tend to be linked to aspects of personality disorders called psychopathy and Machiavellianism. So this personality...
Ooh, Those sound scary.
I know. It is. This personality exhibits antisocial behavior, a lack of empathy, poor behavioral control, the no filter thing, cunningness, manipulation, power and control over others at any cost. And, yes, this personality can also incorporate a third layer of the dark triad called narcissism psychopathy. Here's a quote, a couple of quotes from the study. They said, "This information is important because pathological personality traits are often accompanied by interpersonal difficulties. Sadistic personality disorder was a personality disorder defined by a pervasive pattern of sadistic and cruel behavior. People with this disorder were thought to have desire to control others." And lastly, they said the results from the study revealed that pathological personality traits were associated with specific humor styles. Men reported higher levels of pathological personality traits than women. Interesting. But, you know, we tend to overlook a lot of things, and we really should get a clue, Pastor Butch. The chances are pretty high nowadays that we all know someone that has a humor and personality trait that's really not a healthy one. So have you ever been on a date, Pastor Butch, and you went to hear maybe a stand-up comic that was very amusing and funny, only to look over at your date who was not responding? We're talking about defensive body language, staring ahead, flat expression. The whole audience is roaring with laughter, and your date isn't getting any of it. Hey, that's a clue. You don't have a second date. See, you just don't go there. Getting back to the study, they say antagonism was positively associated with an aggressive humor style. Taken together, these results suggest that individuals with pathological personality traits tend to employ humor styles that are harmful to themselves and others. These results suggest an intriguing possibility that humor plays a big role in the interpersonal difficulties that often accompany a pathological personality disorder. So how did they get this deviant type? Do you ever wonder how people go there? How did they wind up there, right?
Yeah, really, really.
So why do people have a difficult sense of humor, or really no sense of humor at all? So the experts tell us it's experiences that the person was exposed to. Here's their quote. They say, unfavorable experiences during childhood or in the early stages of sexual development are believed to be the one of the major contributing factors in the development of a sadistic personality. It has also been observed that sadism and a sadistic personality can also get developed in an individual through learning. In other words, they're taught it. They go on to say one symptom of a narcissistic personality disorder is sadism, such as when someone enjoys hurting animals or people, seeing them in pain. And then there's these people that tease you. What do you think about teasing, Pastor Butch?
It depends on what it is and how strong it is. You have to be careful.
Absolutely.
Teasing.
Right. So healthy individuals, hey, you can take a little teasing. It's harmless usually. But some people kind of go beyond that line. Some people think it is funny, really funny, to tease you. Labels regarding acts can be misleading. So you have to ask, was the person engaged in a little harmless teasing, or was it something else? So when teasing is not really teasing anymore, here are some examples. When it makes you feel like it's an insult, or if it's demeaning in nature, when it makes you a guilty party, or when it accuses you of something your accuser has done, or trying to convince you that the harmful act was really just a joke and has a very manipulative flair to it, or gain a control over you, flavor to it. So therefore, there is this fine line between teasing, joking, and what is really called gaslighting. Do you know what gaslighting is?
Yeah, I kind of do, but you're going to explain it.
Yeah, some may not know what it is. It is a very devious behavior over another person, and it's anything but humorous. So here is some signs that someone may be using gaslighting on you. They use a series of behaviors they employ for a sole purpose of getting control over another person. An example might be if you inherited a sum of money and your partner wanted control over it and you, that person may set out some circumstances to make you believe that your mental state was in question. See?
Mm-hmm.
So gaslighting is a form of abuse, and anyone that employs such tactics has a behavioral pattern of intent and a history of using it. So this is a person that does not like to hear the word no, but this isn't just, you know, not getting their way. Gaslighting is about gain of control over another. As a person that uses gaslighting, they're going to use it across all types of relationships. They'll use it in marital, professional, parental, etc. So gaslighting is often associated with a narcissistic personality disorder. However, according to expert Dr. Stephanie Sarkis, it has a sociopathic behavior element to it. Therefore, this is a type of sadistic behavior. It's not a person that's just being slightly naughty. Dr. Sarkis says, a gaslighter gets under your skin and makes the victim question their self-value. So if you're ever living with someone like this, your self-esteem is going to take a big hit. Okay. Often a domestic abuser is a gaslighter, and they will beg and plead with their victim that they'll change and it'll get better. Yeah. And once the reconciliation occurs, then the victim again is in their clutches and their roller coaster ride continues. And oftentimes the situations escalate. So this is a dangerous position for a dependent spouse with or without children. Very dangerous. So we want to be wise out there, right, Pastor Butch?
Right.
Personality disorders are really on an all-time high in this time in which we're living in, and it can be real hard to find a true friend or even a mate that's normal and grounded. So a good book that you may want to read is called The Gift of Fear. It's by Gavin DeBecker. And the other one is Warning Signs of Gaslighting by Dr. Stephanie Sarkis. So if you have adult children or grandchildren, this information may save their lives. They won't get into relationships with abusive people like this. So, you know, we have to cope in this really crazy world we're in, Pastor Butch. So if Yes. if you're having difficulty, if you're having anxiety, depression, panic attacks, there are some herb options out there you may want to think about. Having a good sense of humor is also a plus. Like you were mentioning before we got on the air, sense of humor is good for the bones. The Bible tells you that. Laughter is good for you. So you can't lose a good sense of humor. You really can't. And nobody is going to buy you a sense of humor if you don't have one. Okay? So read scripture for wisdom and discernment and be proactive. Now, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, they have a few formulas that help with the coping area. So they have valerian root, emotional stress formula, relaxation formula. And if your nervous system is low in B vitamins, the Body Foundation food mix is a good one. You can give them a call for a free catalog. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com if you want to visit them online, ThePowerHerbs.com. And they're having a back-in-stock sale, and it's 20% off your order of $55 or more. You want to use coupon code BIS for back-in-stock and the number 2023 for the year. But the sale will end Saturday, the 22nd of April, so do remind the time, and restrictions apply. So there are ways, the Lord has given us ways to be wise and discern, right, Pastor Butch?
Amen. You know, and listen to all this, if I feel comfort, excuse me, comfort from somebody, I like to laugh with them, like to pick on them, you know, innocent picking and just laugh out of. And somebody who's down, depressed, or under a lot of stress, if you can give them a smile,
right,
it does help them. I know that as being a pastor for well over 40 years and
sure,
working with people, that if you show the love of God through your sense of humor and kindness, they respond in that way. And I've seen a lot of people turn around in a mood and depression. Just because you spoke to them, maybe laugh with them a little bit, it turns them around. Because let's face it, sometimes, Wendy, this world situation get pretty heavy on the soul and the mind.
Right.
So we need a sense of humor.
We do. Some lighthearted, you know, teasing or jesting is fine. People know that, you know, it wasn't, you know, demeaning or intended to hurt your feelings. But we're talking about some people that are very deceptive, and they're very cunning and good at it. So that book by Gavin DeBecker, The Gift of Fear, he actually points out some clues when you meet people, especially for females. So he says a lot of these personality disorders, they don't like to hear no. Okay. So in other words, if I met someone out at a gathering and they wanted to, you know, take me away from the gathering, let's go get coffee or drink or something, and you said no, they would keep, you know, giving you options. Well, let's just take a walk in the park. There's a beautiful lagoon there. Let's go look at it under the moonlight. They would just keep, you know, needling you until you said yes. So once they know you said yes, they know that they can manipulate you. So you keep, if you're uneasy about something, you know, your spirit will speak to you about these things and let you know. It's a gut feeling. Just keep saying no. Keep saying no, because those type of personality disorders, you know, they'll go find an easier victim after a while. Okay.
All right, give them the number one more time.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And don't forget, it's 20% off sale.
Thank you, Wendy Wilson, for another great, I mean, that's good information. It really is. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. I guess, Lord willing, I'll see you next week.
All right, Pastor Butch, until then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, back at the break, with we'll have Melody come and join us and a lot to talk about. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
All righty, folks, we are back in this and Financial Survival. It is this Pastor Butch Paul, and just joined by the lady that runs this whole shooting match. We're going to talk to Melody Cederstrom, then we're going to get in some news and go from there. Melody, welcome to your program.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here on my program.
So how are you today?
I'm doing great.
So
how
I'm
are
glad
you?
To hear that. I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful day. I feel pretty good for an old fella, so I have no complaints.
All right.
So
all
what's new
right.
in your
yes.
world?
Spring is here. Spring has sprung, perhaps, but not too much. We still have oil holding on to $80 range. I don't know if you're going to talk about more Americans are losing their homes.
I don't know if that's one of the – I had
you
got some stuff
that.
About real estate, but I don't think I have that one yet.
Well, we do. We have more Americans are losing their homes as foreclosures on the U.S. properties rise. And the U.S. foreclosure filings actually jumped 22% in the first quarter compared to the same period a year ago. Now, this is a report according from a real estate data analytics firm, Atom, A-T-T-O-M. So it's still below pre-pandemic levels. Foreclosure activity, it did increase on an annual basis for 23 straight months. But... you know, is this a big, you know, to do? It's just something to pay attention to. You had your metropolitan cities with populations of more than 200,000. They had the most foreclosures starts last quarter, including, you know, New York, Chicago, L.A., Houston, Philly. What'd you expect, you know? So, again, this is when we talk about people who are living paycheck to paycheck. this is what you're going to see. So we're beginning to see more pressure. And perhaps that's why they're changing the laws for the lower income folks to make it easier to buy homes. So in these areas where people are foreclosing, people will be go in there and buy them up. So who knows? They know what's coming, and they write these laws to adjust and to help those situations. I mean, prior to 2008, remember, they rewrote the bankruptcy laws because they knew how many bankruptcies were going to be coming through. So, hey, let's change it. Let's make it harder for people to file bankruptcies. We'll make it easier for corporations, but we'll make it more difficult for the general populace, and that they did. So
they did, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, this isn't anything new. They're going to keep doing it, and they're going to keep changing things, and certainly not to your benefit. So, you know, just an interesting article there.
Well, you know, people paid prices for houses when the interest was low and the prices were high, and now it's reversing. The interest is going back up, and they can't really afford to refinance, and they're getting in the bind. So, yeah, they're going to lose their homes. That's sad, but it's just the way it is.
Yes.
You know, the price of the home went down. They're probably underwater, so to speak. They can't get out of what's put in it. So they either got to eat it or something. I mean, it is what it is. When you work with the fiat currency, you have nothing stable. You cannot plan to build anything financial because it's going to change every few months because you have nothing to build on. It's all make-believe. It's all numbers. It's not for real. That's why people are in a jam right now. We'll discuss that in just a minute.
And I don't know if you have this one, Butch. This is out of Bloomberg. Americans go deeper into debt as they use buy now,
pay later.
Yeah. Do you have that one?
Yeah, I ain't got that. Go ahead. I read it, but you go ahead.
Well, you know, and the sad thing about this whole thing, people are using it for food.
Yeah, I know that. Yes. Consumable goods. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah. So it's like, here's a woman, Faith Smith, was already stretching her $500 a month grocery budget as far as it could go. Then her phone lit up with an imperfect solution. She got a notification that Target would allow her to use Buy Now, Pay Later apps, which lets consumers pay for goods in chunks over the course of several weeks or months. Smith was all too familiar with the BNPL process, the 34-year-old administrative assistant was already using it to buy clothes and school supplies for a young daughter. She can't just buy groceries out of pocket like she used to. Who maxes out her credit on BNPL providers such as Afterpay, Klarna, and PayPal. So it helps for a week or two.
Yep.
But then you're stuck with grocery bills for a couple of months. So people are increasingly using these installment loans. Again, for groceries. I mean, that's really bad. Grocery prices. We've seen grocery prices jump 8.4% in the year through March. This is all according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And, you know, we got to believe them. Almost half of Americans have used this Buy Now, Pay Later app. And of those, about one in five. Rely on such apps to buy groceries. Some 27% of users use the loans as a bridge to their next paycheck. Unbelievable.
And then to get behind the next paycheck, I taught my boys, because I was taught this and learned this from common sense, you don't charge consumable goods if you don't plan on paying off right away. Because once you're consumed, you can't resell them. What are you going to do with them? You buy groceries, you eat them, but they're gone.
You don't have anything yet.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And it goes to the gasoline or anything else. When you put it in the car and burn it, it's going. If you can't pay it week by week, I don't do credit cards. I don't have a credit card. But if I did, I see it's paid every month. I don't want to go into the next month and not pay it. I know some people are in a bind and really can't do that. I appreciate that. And it bothered me because they're getting further in debt because of this. But all they're going to do is end up really hurting themselves in the long run. I don't have all the answers for this. I truly don't. I just know that credit is as dangerous as a cock pistol. You gotta be careful with it.
And so, you know, it's just really, you know, yes, people are getting deeper and deeper into debt. And it is really, really, a family of four a minimum of $1,000 on groceries per month. That's up from $675 from 2 years ago.
Gee.
And don't expect these prices. You're going to see some sections of the food perhaps come down a little bit, but not all of it. And there's always these people, these businesses like Target, who are out there that's going to open it up for people. And guess who really makes hay? It's they do. It's not you.
Sure.
You know.
Of course.
Sad.
It is sad. It really and truly is sad. And I wish we had better answers, except they don't do it. You know, by the grace of God, I haven't got myself in the end of that situation yet. I've always managed to make it. But there have been times when it was really tough to get by in the past for me. And it's getting a little bit rougher today, actually. But you have to think through these things. What alternatives do I have? Can I do something else to get this? I mean, charging groceries or anything, like I said, consumable, it will bite you eventually. It always does. There's no way around it. It has to.
But, I mean, it's 1 in 5. That's an incredible number.
It is. It is. It truly is. It's so sad. Anything else you want to add to that?
No. Just be, you know, I don't know. You know, you just have to cut back in other areas. If it's food that you can't afford, you just got to put other things back, forego something.
If you have something cut out, like eating out or movies, whatever, do that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with a non-financial article because I just want to share very quickly and make some comments on this. We already know this. Fox News, Dominion settled for defamation lawsuit for $787.5 million. Fox News agreed Tuesday to pay $787.5 million to Dominion Voting Systems, settling a lawsuit brought by a company that was repeatedly smeared on air with fantastical claims of helping to rig a presidential election and marking an abrupt end to one of the most consequential and closely watched media cases in decades. Now, I will make one of the most consequential and closely watched media cases in decades, and it truly was. Mike Lindell and all those involved in that, you know, had proof that this thing was rigged, and we had politicians all the country suing because they were robbed, and as far as I know, not one's ever turned anything around. Fox was going to take them to the court for $1.6 billion, so they settled for $787.5 million, which I think is a wise move. But this is a problem, LD. This makes everyone who says anything contrary to mainstream media look like a conspiracy idiot. And so it makes that just with this black eye, so to speak, people are different some opinions on what they're hearing on major media are going to be called just nuts. I mean, what can I say? I mean, look what happened to Fox News. They went on, they admit telling lies. All they done was destroy the chance for people who are trying to expose things of not being laughed at, so to speak. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, but you know what? And maybe I just haven't seen it. But if Mike Lindell has all this proof, release
That's
it.
That's right. I
Let
agree.
Us see it. Prove it to us.
Apparently he does. Now, it's been over a year since he had this. He's going to release it. Either he's being backed into a corner because they're going to take him out or whatever, but he hasn't done it. So,
well, you know what? He got hurt in his business, and it isn't right that he got hurt. They basically boycotted him on all these stations and so forth. But you know what? I was amazed, and, you know, he has a wonderful story. He's a wonderful guy and everything like that, so I'm not criticizing him in any way. However, when he was going, I mean, he was dropping his prices from, and I'm just doing this as a roundabout price because I don't have the exact prices in front of me. But it was like, what, $100 a pillow down to $19.95?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So that's a huge markup there, folks. I don't think he might have broke even at $19.95, but I guarantee he didn't lose money. Now he's doing advertisements where I think the prices are rising again. So, I mean, there were some pretty hefty premiums on a lot of those stuff. And, I mean, a guy's got to do what his guy's got to do. And I'm not saying it was fair what they did to him at all. But it does really make you question how much were those really marked up.
Yeah, I always thought the retailers marked them up at a huge proportion to proportion of price to make it like, but I don't know that. I had the same question. Did he actually, was he ripping people off too, or were the retailers?
Well, I think too with the way he sold pillows, where the way he sold his, and I think this is a nice thing too. I could go there and sign up and advertise pillows on this radio program, and I would get a cut.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, that does take from the profit too of what they're being charged. So, but I mean, I don't, in a way, but if things were made in America once again, like his pillows and all his products are, things would be a lot more expensive too. They would be that expensive. And most people can't afford those higher prices. We're really in our manufacturing and our ability to buy things. If we made things here in the U.S. again, we're really between a rock and a hard place.
We are. Now, we'll hit that a little bit after a while on the same issue. But this next article ties in with what I just talked about, Fox News and the Dominion voting machine lawsuit. Now, this has come out. This was said many, many years ago by different alternative media sources. Bombshell, some 9/11 hijackers were CIA agents. Declassified court filing suggests this was said many years ago, and now just come out. And so, on one hand, the so-called conspiracy theorists were made look like idiots. On this end, they were telling the truth. A court filing from the Guantanamo Military Commission revealed that the CIA was closely monitoring two of the alleged 9/11 hijackers. They may have even recruited them before they flew planes to the World Trade Center building. Felix Lifshitz, an investigative journalist from RT, wrote that the CIA concealed vital information from the FBI prior to the attacks, which potentially could have prevented the event. And then the FBI subsequently played along with the CIA's cover-up. He proposed that far from infiltrating an al-Qaeda cell to avert terrorism, the agency, the CIA, was seeking to influence and direct its activities in order to cause terrorism outside standard recruitment channels. Having stumbled upon such a monstrous connivance, the FBI would have known well to leave the entire subject well done. So apparently they've proven that two of the people were actually CIA agents. Now, what that goes to from there, I don't know. But one hand, the so-called stolen election maybe was debunked. I still think there's a lot of cover-up on that. But on the other hand, 9/11 has been exposed many times as being a lie. Now has been proven to be partially validated. So, any comments on that?
No, the only problem that I have with all this, voting and everything like this, everybody knew prior going into that there'd be some sort of issues, but there wasn't anything done. It was just complaining, and there was, now could have anything been done? I don't know. You have the power of the pen with an executive order. You know, you think something could have been done or a better plan.
It's a tough call, Melody. It really is. It's a tough call. You really don't know who to trust in a lot of areas. And I'm convinced in my mind that there was fraud in voting this time.
Oh, I'm sure there was.
In the past, many times.
There's fraud in every election.
Of course.
I mean, you know, and when you talk to these people who you know, on the other side, and you tell them, well, how can dead people vote? Oh, well, that's just a, no. There is a problem. That shouldn't even happen. Don't laugh it away and say it's not an issue. And then, mistakes happen. No, there shouldn't be mistakes.
Not like that. No.
You know, no, there shouldn't be mistakes. Are we just now accepting mistakes? Oh, okay. Well, big deal. It was a mistake.
What if there was one unsubstantiated vote from a dead person or anything
exactly.
else? If there's one, there's more.
There's multiple ones.
That's exactly.
And find the problem and how does it get there? But no, nobody does it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody cares about it. And maybe if they started with that, then well, you know, maybe other things would be opened up. I don't know. That's just my thought.
I mean, that's whether there's smoke, there's fire. That's built that way. There has to be. The smoke, there's fire. And after the break, we're going to get into some economic articles here. The first one will be, is there a worldwide run on the Bank of the United States of America? We're going to discuss that and some detail after the break and a whole lot more. So, folks, I just hang in there. Millie, go ahead and take us out.
Oh, you did a great job. We're done. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. That'll continue next week. And Dave Allen will be back next week. So Butch will be sitting in tomorrow. And I believe you're going to be solo tomorrow, perhaps.
Perhaps if I have to be, I will be. Gee.
Well, you know what? I do appreciate it because folks don't realize what all we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. And, you know, there's just things that we do have to get done and make sure everybody gets shipped in a timely manner and things to follow up on and everything like that. So it really does give me a break when you're able to do something like that for tomorrow. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Of course, tomorrow's my office day, my busiest day of the week as far as in the office. So I got to hustle, but I'll get her done.
Yeah, you're a young man.
Oh, yeah, I'm a young man. Yeah, I'm 39, just like you.
You bet you
are. Right. Anyway, is there a worldwide run on the Bank of the United States of America? In talking this week with a friend about the United States seemingly imploding from within across multiple sectors, my friend stressed. It's not just from within. There's a run on the United States from certain nations and business interests around the world. Just like there was a run on banks after the collapse of the Silicon Valley Bank, many nations are either thinking about or actually proceeding with transferring at least a portion of their allegiance, assets, and commitments from the Bank of the U.S. to the Bank of China or elsewhere. This was not just some person sitting on the porch casually talking about current events while whittling a stick waiting for his Social Security or pension check to hit the mailbox. This was a former high-level U.S. government official, now a CEO, someone who sits on the boards of directors from multiple companies. He has massive real estate and business experience and believes the United States may be on the verge of collapse. I believe that too, folks. Some fear that the Biden administration is losing control over the southern border. Some fear that. Losing control over decaying, crime-infested big cities, creating a recession, vilifying and needlessly destroying the fossil fuel industry while pushing suspect to subsidize green energy alternatives, leaving tens of billions of dollars in military equipment in Afghanistan while withdrawing our troops, abandoning an ally, stepping closer to a tripwire in Ukraine war, which could trigger a nuclear strike, weakening our military with one woke edict after another, focus on trans issues at the expense of failing transportation and infrastructure, cheerleading the social justice warrior takeover of colleges and universities, and weakening the dollar, the currency which much of the world depends on. Is it any wonder, then, that nations such as France, India, Saudi Arabia, Japan, Mexico, and Brazil, and others are suddenly hedging their bets by looking beyond the United States of America for partnerships and stability? Now, I want to just mention a couple of these nations, folks. France, NATO, right? Let's be on our side. Japan, supposed to be on our side. Mexico, walking the line. But we have nations there that have been our allies for years, including Saudi Arabia, supposedly, who are now looking other places for their financial stability. So, yes, there's a run on the bank in the United States. That dollar is losing every day. The next article I'll share with you is it's going to be ugly. Commercial real estate predictions turn dire. Melody, I don't know how else we can make any more points on this, because you can't trust the numbers we get from government. We're lied to, or they're manipulated. You really can't trust anything they say about anything, especially finances day, can you?
No, it's very difficult.
It says, over the past several months, we've seen a series of progressively negative headlines over commercial real estate predictions becoming more and more dire. Blackstone, of course, is waiting with dry powder for the largest ever real estate drawdown. Now, according to the CEO of a real estate investment firm, things could get as bad as what was seen during the 2008 financial crisis. Unfortunately, in the situation we're in, things need to bottom out, and they haven't bottomed out yet, said Patrick Carroll, the CEO of the real estate investing firm Carroll, in a Thursday interview with the CNBC, adding that while some areas of CRE could remain intact, such as multifamily housing, areas such as offices and hotels could be destroyed as the sector grappled with tighter credit conditions and a cascade of debt maturities. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be at least as bad as 08 and 09 anymore. One of the core issues is that commercial mortgage debt held by the banks will need to be refinanced in much tougher conditions in the coming years, as around 80% of outstanding commercial property debt is held by small and medium-sized banks. Now, folks, let that sink in. 80% of the commercial debt is held by small and medium-sized banks. Sellers are not realizing how much their properties have lost value, and they're not willing to dump their properties yet because they haven't felt enough pain. They're about to start feeling the pain. These lenders are screwed, said Carroll, who noted that $1.5 trillion in commercial real estate debt will come due in the next 3 years, which will either need to be refinanced or renegotiated. And with the collapse of the SVB and other small banks feeling the pressure, many will be less inclined to lend without doing so at a much higher interest rates than the commercial real estate market is used to. So it's a catch-22. No matter how they go, it's going to hurt. What do you think, Billy?
Well, you know, there was an interview with Elon Musk, and he said that the commercial real estate, he says, we really haven't seen the commercial real estate shoe drop yet. And he says that's more like an anvil, not a shoe. So I think everybody kind of knows, you know, just like in 2008, we all knew what was going on in the real estate housing market, the subprime mortgages plus the adjustable rate mortgages was going to bring down. This is the same thing. We all know.
Yes.
And we're just, you know, we just don't know exactly when. We didn't know exactly when. We kind of knew with the adjustable rate mortgages for the homes back in 2008, but there was a lot of things that we didn't know, and this is the same thing. So, yeah, this is there's going to be a surge in defaults, and that's going to hit these banks. So lots of pain coming with this commercial real estate.
And it's hard for us to imagine if our bank shuts down. I'm talking about you, even you and I. I don't keep money in the bank. I don't do it. I just don't keep it there because it's not really my money if it's in there. What little bit I have, I do keep in my hand, so to speak, along with the precious metals I have. What few I have, I keep them in my hand. I don't want them anywhere else. But the banks do close down. Everything in that bank is, we'll say, implodes, and you can't get any money out. You can't do business with them. What would that mean to everyone, Melody, from the consumer to the business owner? What's that going to mean?
Well, it's a devaluation. It's a default.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to happen.
And it's going to mean that people are going to lose everything they have. How can business owners do business unless they have access to their accounts?
Right.
So just common sense.
Absolutely.
Peter Schiff's been writing some good articles here lately, and I never was a real big fan of him, but he's starting to make some sense here. I want to share this with everybody. He wrote, "We'd be lucky to escape with just a recession." Peter Schiff recently appeared on Real America with Dan Ball, talked about the weakening U.S. dollar, the less than stellar jobs report, and the trajectory of the economy. Peter kicked off the interview with his starting statement when Dan said, whether it's oil, dollarization, or President Biden's horrible economic policies, everything's pointing toward a recession this year. Schiff said, we'd be very lucky to escape with just a recession. I think this is a depression. We're probably already in it. It's just going to get worse. As far as the March jobs report, Peter pointed out that one of the reasons the numbers were worse than governments created around 50,000 jobs. Let me repeat that. One of the reasons that the numbers weren't worse is governments created around 50,000 jobs, while private sector job creation was well below estimates. And the problem with government jobs is that taxpayers get the bill. Now let that sink in, folks. Governments, in this case, hired 50,000 more that you're paying for. I don't remember the exact numbers, how many people work for government, either direct or indirect. School teachers, of course, bureaucrats, politicians, whatever. All these work for government. I mean, they all do. It's funded by you and I. Of course, these people pay taxes also, but the vast majority is funded by people like you and I that do not work for the government. So, yeah, the jobs look good because government hired 50,000 people. Mostly bureaucrats aren't producing anything. In fact, they're making the rest of us less productive. We need private sector jobs to pay for themselves, and that add to our productivity, not more government jobs that require taxpayer funding and diminish our collective productivity. Peter said the real threat is foreigners pulling the rug off money of the U.S. economy by banning the dollar. That's what makes this dysfunctional economy that we have possible. We have $1 trillion a year trade deficit. That means we import $1 trillion a year worth of stuff that we didn't make. And the only reason we can do it because foreigners will take the paper that we print for all the stuff that they produce. But if they don't want to do that anymore, then how is our economy going to function without all this stuff? Because certainly we don't have the factories to produce it. Boy, that's a hard hit right on the money. If they don't want our dollar, we can't make our own stuff. What are we going to do? Boy, it's been said in this program over and over again. And when you depend on somebody else to take care of you, folks, even though you're paying for the goods, if they cut it off, you don't eat. It's just that easy. Dan brought up the fact that mainstream journalists keep talking about the strong job market despite all the layoffs, especially in the tech sector. Peter said it's the good jobs that are being eliminated. Look at the jobs that weren't created by government. The number one is leisure and hospitality. Now let that sink in. The number one job that wasn't created by government is leisure and hospitality. Not production, not any way of producing goods. These are restaurants and hotels. And, of course, a lot of these people are returning from the COVID absences, but these are low-paying jobs. In fact, many of the jobs that are being created are part-time jobs for the people who lost their good full-time jobs. The people who are getting laid off from these tech companies are getting two or three jobs waiting tables or working in hotels, and somehow the economy is stronger because on a number of basis, we have more jobs. but the quality of those jobs has gone down. And most people who have two or three lousy jobs, they would rather have one good paying job. But unfortunately, they no longer have that option. And that's right on the money, folks. We've been saying this, Melly been saying it for years. Yeah, we got more jobs, but they're flipping hamburgers or pushing a broom. Nothing wrong with that. Thank God those jobs are there and people do them. I really appreciate that. But the point of it is, they're not paying what these people are used to being paid. These people get their wages cut, totally gone after a few months, or cut in half, or two-thirds, or whatever. And they have to find another job to make up the difference. So the figures are lying to us. When they put the government hires 50,000 more people, that goes into job the plus side for jobs. But actually, it should go on the minus side because we're paying for those jobs. Government does not produce a thing. Government is a leech on a healthy body. And the bigger the leech, the quicker the body is drained. Melody, in comments?
No, I mean, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, these jobs, and you know what, Butch, I come back again and I'm going to say the same thing. Nobody asks why we don't have these jobs. They're not coming back. These manufacturing good paying jobs are not going to be coming back. Technology, AI, everything is going to take even more jobs. And those That's jobs true. Are going to become bet paid less and less. You know, I was hearing about some of these stats today about some of these illegal alien children, minors, that are now being found working mm-hmm. in slaughterhouses mm-hmm. and everywhere else across this country. Cheap labor. That's why they're bringing them in.
Basically slave labor.
Slave labor. You got it. It's against the law for these kids to be working.
Unless the ones who... maintain the laws like it that way.
So, I mean, it's just a sad state of affairs. There's just like, this country is, it's the illusion. There's two different, even Elon, I'm not a fan of Elon Musk, but sometimes he makes these comments and so forth. There are two universes here, two realities here on this planet, especially here in the United States. Probably more here than anywhere else. You know, you got this la-la land where everybody's just living high on the hog and everything's wonderful, beautiful, you know, like back. And then the other side, it's dangerous, it's sad, it's poor.
You know, before COVID, our nation was struggling financially and a lot of things were totally going off the track. They really were. But since then, it's really taken a hit. And people think it's going to go back to what was pre-COVID.
Can't.
It can't do it. It's not going to happen.
Can't do it.
It's not going back to the 1990s. It's not going back to early 2000s. It's not going back any time. It's going to gradually, and well, not even gradually. Now it's getting quicker. Get worse and worse to the point it all collapses. And I think, Melody, unless we die a natural death, you and I are going to live to see this. I really do.
I hope so. Well, I don't know if I hope so, but it's interesting.
Well, I mean, It's
interesting. It's fascinating. This is, you know, I mean, we're on the brink of, I don't even know what you want to call it, Butch, a brink of a society collapse, I think.
Yeah, devastation. You know, war is the only thing that destroys society, obviously. Look around us. Obviously. Right?
And we're warring. The war is between us.
Yes, it
is. Look what's happening in this country. We're just knocking off each other. There's a war out there going on. And the only thing anybody can say is on the other side is, oh, stop praying and giving people thoughts and confiscate weapons. That's all. Anyway.
Well,
that's not my words. That's not my words. That's the best that they can do out there. So,
yep.
So anyway, I hear the music, Butch.
Yep. Folks, I'll see
you
tomorrow.
We'll be back tomorrow. You'll be back tomorrow, Butch?
Yes, I will.
It's awfully quiet. And
okay,
we'll be back. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.